is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn. The number of Americans killed in the Hamas attack on Israel now stands at 31. White House spokesman John Kirby says the United States will continue to speak to Israel about the need to protect innocent civilian life. This as President Biden is on his way to Israel right now to show U.S. support. But one of his meetings with Arab leaders has been canceled. Here's White House correspondent Weijia Jiang.
The now canceled summit in Jordan was where Mr. Biden hoped to make progress on establishing a humanitarian corridor, opening up the southern Gaza border crossing to get trapped civilians, including Americans, out of there and aid in. The president was supposed to meet with Egyptian President al-Sisi at that summit. He really wanted FaceTime to convince him to open up the corridor, but he continues to resist.
Mr. Biden still plans to meet with Israeli leaders tomorrow. What does he need to convey to them? Former U.S. Ambassador to Israel Martin Indyk.
He's going to have to, I think, step up the call for restraint and humanitarian relief to try to quell what is a rising and spreading anger across the Arab world.
The president's considering a roughly $100 billion extensive aid package that would include emergency aid. More bodies were removed from a funeral home that had advertised they had green burials. Reporter Michael Spencer is with CBS Colorado.
The number of bodies found at the Return to Nature funeral home has now risen from 115 to 189. Teams removed at least that many bodies and moved them to the El Paso County Coroner's Office. Now, this happened in Penrose near Colorado Springs. The Fremont County Sheriff says the number of bodies could change as the investigation continues.
Earlier this month, there were reports of a bad smell coming from the building. Officers found a mass of improperly stored bodies. Alec Baldwin could be facing more charges stemming from the Rust movie set shooting. CBS's Matt Piper with details.
Authorities say the case against the actor will be brought before a grand jury next month. It was Baldwin's gun that shot and killed Helena Hutchins on the set in Santa Fe in October 2021. Prosecutors dismissed charges against him in April, but pivoted after receiving a new analysis of the gun that was used.
And finally, if you need some sunny days from all the bad news lately, the 54th season of Sesame Street is less than 3 weeks away. It's got some major star power stopping in like Quinta Brunson, Ariana DeBose, and Brandi Carlile. But what I'm looking forward to the most, Grover takes over Hooper's store and brings in a chef who happens to be a Muppet octopus who only makes bread. This is CBS News.
You need to hire? Indeed is with you every step of the way, helping you attract, interview, and hire candidates all from one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
A no-holds-barred political conversation. That's Matt Flynn Direct.
Gerrymandering is not democracy, it's commie government. It's fake government. You have somebody that gets 48% of the vote and they get 67% of the seats. That is not democracy, it's fake democracy. It's the appearance of law without the reality or the actuality of law.
Matt Flynn Direct, weekday afternoons from 3 until 4 on the Civic Media Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council. My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
Time out.
All right. Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
From the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Broad.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin, Tuesday, October 17th. Greg Bach is on the board and my Tuesday co-host from Devil's Advocates Radio. You can hear them across the Civic Media Radio Network every weekday from 4 to 6. Dominic Salvia. And I have to encourage people to watch us on the live stream. You can either do it on YouTube or Twitter. We dance, we sing, I have my eye rolls, and you can also see Dominic's very fancy backdrop this morning.
He looks like he is rowing across the lake.
What?
I have a fancy schmancy
great
man.
Green screen here at the Milwaukee Hidden Studio. Good to be with you, Jane. As always, great. Good to see you, man. Thanks.
Hey, coming up at 11 o'clock, I just want to tell folks, next month, November 5th, we will be falling back. Daylight saving time will come to an end. And the Sunshine Protection Act never got anywhere last year. But I want to know how people feel about it, because I have very strong opinions.
Oh,
you do?
I know.
It's weird how that works. Really? Shocking. Jane's got strong opinions.
Yeah, I know. It's going to shock you. But we want to get your take on daylight saving time. Should we keep it? Should it go away? What should we do? Should we just turn the lights off forever? That is coming up at 11 o'clock. 10:30, Dan Schaefer from the Recombobulation area will be joining us. And then at 11:30, we have a special guest. There's a women's conference happening in Milwaukee this weekend. Rachel O'Leary Carmona will be joining us at 11:30 to talk about the women's conference and what you can expect if you're going to be going to that. Maybe, you know, you would consider going if you learn a little bit more about it. But we are going to start things off, Dominic, and you and I connected by phone just a little bit ago. This kind of got lost on Friday. It kind of got buried, and there's so much news all the time. It's just easy to gloss over some of these things. But we're going to talk about the Republican efforts to get rid of Megan Wolf, who is the head of the Wisconsin Elections Commission, because something happened on Friday that's kind of important, Dom.
Jane, this is very important, and I think it goes to the core of what some of the issues that I have with our Republican friends. Lots of articles on this. I saw the one at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel yesterday, Molly Beck,
it's
the headline.
It's so good. Molly Beck is so good.
She's awesome. Despite public comments, Republicans concede in legal filing they lack grounds to oust Megan Wolf.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
I know. Excuse me? Yeah. Megan,
we've been going around and round and around and round about this, man. People are getting fired up, you know, constitutionality, you know, is she in the position? Can they throw her out? All these things, Jane. And then when it comes down to it, when the rubber has to hit the road, right, and they have to file a legal brief and be honest about it, well, at that point, only then do they say, well, yeah, nope, actually, she's in the job legitimately, and we can't really do anything about it.
And we just did this because we wanted to muck things up. Okay, they didn't necessarily admit that, but they said this effort to oust Megan Wolf was merely symbolic.
Is that what it was?
It was just symbolic, Dominic. It was
performative politics.
Yeah,
huh?
it was for no reason at all except to keep their base fired up, thinking that the election was stolen, which we have found time and time and time again, it was not stolen.
And this goes back to remember when she was up for what reappointment, and the Dems played it smart. They didn't vote, and so it was 3-0, so Republicans, and they said, well, they didn't have a quorum, right? They needed a majority. They needed 4 out of 6, not 3 out of 6. And even though that math wasn't there, even though it wasn't recognized as legal, quote unquote, the Republicans continued to move forward. Again, a little bit in the piece from Devin LeMahieu, the Senate Majority Leader, back at the time, they could have voted no, they didn't vote no. That would have been a tie vote. But it was unanimous. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. I mean, literally, the words came out of the mouth. 3-0 is a 2/3 vote. Well, there's supposed to be 6 people voting. That would be, 50%. That's not 2/3, sir. So the whole thing, obviously ridiculous. And all the bantering and articles and discussions about it at the time, from then until now. And as Molly Beck points out in her fine reporting, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, in Monday's filing, though, LeMahieu claimed the opposite, admitting that the commission's 3-0 vote on Wolf did not effectuate an appointment. Wolf is lawfully in her current position as a holdover, and that the Senate has no power to act on an appointment where there is no pending appointment. Now, this is an updated version from what we saw yesterday, Jane. Let me throw this out there.
Okay.
LeMahieu, in a statement on Monday, maintained he had not contradicted his past comments.
No, of course not.
No. The situation has been complicated procedurally, and the situation has changed a number of times. But since June, Senator LeMahieu has issued statements consistent with the filing. I'm not so sure about that, Jane.
Well, and wasn't Robin Voss just on WISN-TV on Upfront on Sunday kind of contradicting the filing that was released on Friday?
Yeah, Beck also points this out. Legislative leaders said in the filing that the Legislature Joint Committee on Legislative Organization has no power to appoint interim administrator while Wolf is holding over, even though Voss on Sunday said the committee should begin the process of replacing her.
For which
what? And Robin Voss knew what was in the filings, right? So he knew it. He gets out there and he's saying this on Sunday that we should start the process. But when they file the paper, when the rubber hits the road, they have to be honest. They admit they have no power to appoint an interim administrator while Administrator Wolf is holding over.
It's just remarkable to me that you can contradict yourself within a day. And it's just like, yeah, well, this is just how we do business now. Why would your constituents believe anything you say?
That's the great point. And this becomes politicians lie, the whole thing. And I'm not going to do a both sides of them. I think we're in a different spot right now, my personal opinion. But even if you accept the fact that that's the case, then where's the self-respect for the Republicans and the MAGAs and the GOP? You have this guy up there, telling you. And it's not just Voss. It's also LeMahieu. It's also Kapinga, right?
Right.
What they're telling you. We got to do something. She's there illegally, and this is wrong, and fired up. And when it comes down to it, no, that's not the case. And why would you, where's the self-respect? Really? Would you, in a workplace situation, in a relationship situation, when is that ever acceptable? And why is it acceptable in a political situation?
Well, and not to mention all the taxpayer dollars involved in these lawsuits that are pointless, right?
No doubt. Right.
It all costs money.
Josh Gall filed, right? Josh is the response to Josh Gall. He's the Attorney General, State of Wisconsin. Well, he gets paid by the tax dollars, right?
Yeah.
Well, who are the defendants in this case? Well, of course, it's the Republicans, LeMahieu and Voss and Kapinga and these other folks. Well, they have, using either state resources, but probably external resources to pay for attorneys, also taxpayer dollars,
right?
The whole judiciary system itself. Is the socialist dollars going towards our justice system also? So we pay, and I don't know what they're trying to do. I imagine they just want to keep their base. We're funding, we're subsidizing the Republicans, keeping their base fired up on lies. And that's problematic, Jane.
Absolutely. And you make a really good point that all of Wisconsin taxpayers are funding performative politics, right? Because it's just
wasting the court's time.
Yeah, it's just theater. They knew that they did not have standing to oust her or replace her. oh, let's go ahead and file it anyway. Let's just waste a little more time. Let's drag this out. Let's keep feeding the doubt that our elections are a mess. Our yes. elections are not a mess. Our elections are not rigged. There are not ballots coming in from, where did they say that they were, from Venezuela or whatever, Hugo Chavez. I mean, the loony conspiracies, it's astonishing. And yet there is a certain part of the electorate that just laps it up.
It is it's a unhealthy relationship. And I mean this sincerely. I mean, I don't know. I'm not going to go say, you know, cult deprogramming kind of thing. But if you look to the Republicans and the GOP here in the state of Wisconsin and as your guide to what we should do or what you should do and how you should behave and what you should think as far as politics are concerned and those kinds of things, well, then they're steering you wrong. And if you continue to accept that, even if it's right in front of your face and we're telling you it's in the paper, you can really do a side-by-side, read the legal document, and then watch what Voss said on Sunday.
Right.
Those things are contradictory. I mean, exactly 100% contradictory. Both of them cannot be true. One of them is a falsehood. One of them is a lie, and I'm betting it's not the one that they filed with a court.
Again, just to reiterate this, and this is from a column in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel for Molly Beck, who does a great job. Senate Majority Leader Devin Lemahue, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Senate President Chris Kapenga admitting in a new court filing their efforts to remove Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf was symbolic, and that Wolf is legally in her current position. So it was enough. It was for nothing. It was for grins and giggles.
Well, that's what you do when you have absolutely no platform to run on or try to get done. Nothing.
Well, and their policies are not popular, and we've talked about that before as well.
Right.
So people don't like their policies. So instead of changing their policies, they change the way they just make it more difficult for people to vote, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to make it harder for you to cast your ballot. I don't care if you don't like my policies. Again, stick our fingers in our ears, go la, 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 and keep getting paid and keep getting per diems and keep popping popcorn, and life is good.
Other people's money. I mean, what effort? I mean, literally, I mean, the court has nothing else to do. Pardon me. You know, we don't have, as a state, actual problems and actually money in the bank that we can use to solve some of these real problems, real life problems that we have. And they're wandering around doing symbolic, you know, dances to what end? Of course, to keep the base motivated. On your dime, Jane. On your dime, Greg. On your dime, Republicans. They're using you.
Yes.
They're abusing you. They're lying to you, man.
It should.
You should take that to heart.
It should be upsetting to people. People should be, I don't know, not happy about this.
I'm upset for them, Jane.
Oh, and you do a really good upset too, Dominic. All right. We're coming up against the break. You can always chime in. You can text and or call 844-967-2789. If you're watching a live stream, you can also leave a comment there. We will be right back. This is As Goes Wisconsin. You are listening on the Civic Media Radio Network. All that pressure got you down.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. 41 overnight under partly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles an hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, chance for scattered rain showers, highs level off around 63. Chance for scattered showers again tomorrow night, lows dip down to about 47, cloudy. Upper 50s Thursday and Friday with scattered showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Waukesha, home of Les Paul, our awesome farmers market, and the Shaw. 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
Height. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is the Shaw, WAUK.
Welcome back to Mathlin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. Going right to the lines. I'll take you in order. Do not hang up. Andrew of Detroit, Michigan, my friend. Thanks for calling, Andrew. What's in your mind today?
Hey, Professor. I wanted to bring up the idea. The whole thing about Jim Jordan and his perverted past, it doesn't matter to the Republicans. I mean, the leader of their party in the primary is a convicted rapist. And as long as I've been a voter, the number of Republicans that have come out as perverts and rapists and molesters, it's just staggering. And again, if it would happen in my party, I'd throw them under the bus right away. You know, I'm not defending Democrats on this, you know, but the big thing maybe would be somebody that has a persuasive voice, persuasive attitude, gets to those Republicans that will be running for Congress in states where Biden won. If they would vote to put Jim Jordan in, they're not going to do well in the future.
Right,
and I think their congressional people across the aisle need to talk about that.
Right. Good point. No, and I'm sure that's been made. But here's the funny little perverted twist to this. Jordan and Sean Hannity and others call these people, and these people go, well, I can't vote for you because I'm in, you know, you voted against Hurricane Sandy aid and 9/11 aid and all that. And you know what the response is? They say, well, to even get to the general, you have to win a primary. And if you don't vote for me, you're going to get a primary and Trump's going to come in and endorse your opponent. That's what they say. So these people are holding out, and there's a couple of them in very red seats, but they have the guts to hold out. They know the guy's a skunk, a lying skunk. It really is a lying skunk. And he was in on the insurrection. He should have been prosecuted. The only reason Jack Smith didn't prosecute him was because he wanted to isolate Trump and try to get it in before the election. Fannie Willis already prosecuted, what, 19 people, for Pete's sake? I mean, you know, she easily could have prosecuted him. And frankly, Josh Call could prosecute him. He was in on a conspiracy. You don't have to be in Wisconsin to be part of the conspiracy. You don't have to be in Wisconsin to be part of the conspiracy, but nobody in Wisconsin is getting prosecuted. So look, this is a very, very changing situation. Listen, Andrew, thanks a lot for calling. I really appreciate it. Gene of Eau Claire, my friend, you're next. What's in your mind today, Gene?
Oh, what a glorious morning. I tell you, nightmares are coming often and fast. It's unbelievable. I can't believe what I'm seeing, man. I've watched for years, and I've never seen anything like this in my life, and I have never seen Republicans act like this. But this is not their party, and they've got to get these people out. All of the guys from Wisconsin was just sick. Jim Jordan, proud, and Van Orden, proud as a Dickens. You know, Jim Jordan, loud and clear. after he gets sent calls from us to say, don't vote for that guy. He's a danger to our country. But have you ever heard of a group called NAB, N-A-B? It's something for veterans.
There are a lot of veterans organizations. I'm not sure. What do you got on that one, Gene? What's your point?
Okay, my point is I've been seeing an ad with Van Orden on it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, and, you know, and supporting the vets and stuff like that right during news time. I've seen it quite a few nights in a row here. And I just want to lay that by in case anybody heard and maybe want to have an alternate ad. But this is like the services they provide. It's really alarming. But thanks, Matt, for taking my call.
Gene, let me tell you what that may be. There are a lot of veterans organizations and they're legit, and none of them would run a partisan ad for a Democrat or a Republican. But I would not put it past Van Orden for his donors to cook up a kind of a vet thing and then say they're endorsing him when it's really just his donors. The other thing to keep in mind about Van Orden is, remember he laid the he called those high school pages little SHITs for lying on the floor and taking pictures of the dome. These are high school interns. And he tried to take a gun through an airport, in which is against the law in Iowa. And he used the F-bomb to them. Well, just this last week, he did the same thing. They had a briefing by the White House, a confidential briefing on some sensitive foreign policy things. And he was there. And he went absolutely ballistic, cursing them out because they're from Biden's White House, and he used the F-bomb. You can't do that. You're a congressman. What are you using the F-bomb for, high school kids? And then these were fairly young staffers of Biden that were going down to brief them on this stuff. And Crow, he's a Democrat from Colorado, got up, and here's what he said, quote, on behalf of all the congressmen in this room, we deeply apologize to you for that misconduct by Mr. Van Orden. And you know what happened? The whole room clapped, including the Republicans. Including the Republicans. The Republicans tried to sue to sow violence, chaos, and fraud. And one way to do it is physically and death threats and all that. But another way is you have a very rough looking guy using the F-bomb to kids. Yeah, I mean, it puts them off. It scares them. They're momentarily silenced. It's a bullying tactic, and it's very, very wrong. It's a bullying tactic. It's very, very wrong. And I want, before we go to the next break, mention one other thing about Jim Jordan. One of the ways he's gotten some votes is because he's lied, and he said he's against Ukraine aid. He said, I'm not going to give any aid to Ukraine. When some people hit him on it, he goes, I may reconsider that. Yeah, I may put a joint bill with Israel and Ukraine. So some said, okay, we'll vote for you. Remember, Scott Walker told Labor in 2014, I will never sign a right-to-work bill. And then he turned around and stabbed them in the back when he got elected and they endorsed him. And in North Carolina, the Dems wanted to go to John Lewis's funeral. This is a while ago. But there was a very complicated piece of legislation up, which the Republicans didn't have a veto-proof majority. The Republicans go, oh, go up there. We won't convene the House. The minute they left town, they did convene the House. They then had a veto-proof majority, and they screwed them. A Republican in Congress will not tell the truth. His word is no good. We're going to a break.
Whether you're heading down Les Paul Parkway or fighting traffic on the interstates, this is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM, WAUK.
CBS News Special Report. Palestinian officials say hundreds of people died today when an Israeli airstrike hit a hospital in the Gaza Strip. Israel blames Islamic Jihad. After the attack, protesters gathered near the Israeli embassy in Amman, Jordan, some of them trying to storm the building. The attack has caused a change of plans for President Biden, says CBS's Margaret Brennan.
The summit between President Biden and Arab leaders, including Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, was called off after the tragic bombing of a hospital in Gaza.
UN High Commissioner for Human Rights Volker Turk says there was another deadly attack in Gaza today.
At least six people were also killed when an UNRWA school was hit in Al Maghazi refugee camp in Gaza's middle area. The school had been serving as a shelter for some 4,000 people seeking refuge.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
People won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is killing people. It's a powerful opioid, often made illegally and commonly mixed with illicit drugs. It can even be pressed into counterfeit pills that resemble prescription medications. Just 2 milligrams, about the size of a few grains of sand, could potentially be lethal. This isn't an ad to scare you, but it is an ad to make you think twice. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
Attention high school sports fans, are you an armchair official? You know, the parent or fan who constantly yells at the referees and loves to let everyone know just how bad you think they are. Well, if you think you could do better, then get in the game and prove it. It's time for you to suit up and make the calls where they actually count. Every sport in Wisconsin needs more officials. Sign up today at highschoolofficials.com.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour,
if you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes,
walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out, and for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
By following our network's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook pages. Want even more? CivicMedia.us.
Welcome back to Metflin Direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, Joe Biden's going to Israel. I think he should be getting there fairly soon. It's a little later there than it is here, about 8 hours, I think. He's going to visit Israel on Wednesday, and then he's going to visit Jordan. He's going to meet with the Jordanian king, I guess. He's a king now. He's going to meet with an Egyptian representative. And he's going to meet with somebody from the Palestinian Authority. The Palestinian Authority is in the West Bank, not in Gaza. And they are people who in the past have turned down settlements, but they're not like ISIS and Hamas. And Biden's going to have a good conversation with him. He's going to talk about the release of the hostages, especially the American hostages. And he's going to talk about humanitarian aid for Gaza. This is very gutsy. Let me tell you something. The guy's 80 years old. You know, Trump is 77 years old. So let's not start, you know, people in glass houses shouldn't throw stones. They're 3 years apart, number one. Number two, Biden is a lot more alert than Trump. Trump fulminates, he curses, he yells all the time, he mixes up his facts. I think he has early onset myself. I'm not a doctor, But I've seen people with early onset dementia get very, very combative and very sort of aggressive in their speech. And this is exactly what Trump reminds me of. But in any event, Biden has a lot of guts flying into a war zone like that. One of the Tennessee congressmen, a Republican, said something that really impacted me. He said, you know, I wish Joe wouldn't go. This is, you know, these people are fanatics over there. He said, my daddy fought the Japanese during the Second World War. And he once said to me, son, if you go somewhere where the people who want to kill you don't mind getting killed themselves, be very careful. So Joe Biden, my friend and president, I salute you. You're gutsy. Go over there. It's a real good reason not to have Jim Jordan, by the way, second in line to the presidency, I'll tell you that. The other thing is they've upped the numbers on the hostages, 199 hostages, the terrorists from Hamas affiliated with ISIS and with Islamic Jihad. Israel in its bombings, which have been criticized, but I don't see that they had any choice. They killed the top Hamas commander, a number of them, and other key terror operatives. The main guy, Bilal al-Qaeda, was the sadist that was involved in the worst sadistic attack on one of the Israeli villages. Others were also killed. Also, military compounds, command centers, anti-tank missile launch ports, observation posts, and so on. Now, let me give you the names, and these names are not familiar to me, but they may be familiar to experts. The highest ranking people in Hamas who were killed in these bombings right now was al-Qadi, Q-A-D-I. They don't put a U after the Q over there. It's just Q-A-D-I. Avez Aid, Zachariah Abu Momar, Abu Shamala, Relal al-Qadra, Merad Avi Murad. These are all Hamas leaders. They're all dead. They're deader than doornails, which is exactly where they belong. I see you on the lines. Don't hang up. I'll get to you right after I finish this topic now, and we can talk about it. The reaction in this country has been strong support for Israel. But we have people, because we're a free country, who have frankly just reverted to sadism themselves. At Cornell University, there's a professor named Russell Rickford. He spoke at a rally after Hamas had gone in and butchered those people. He called Hamas's sadistic attacks, quote, exhilarating and energizing. Students in Cornell, this is a reverse, are now calling on him to be fired. There are more than 24 groups, student groups, 24 different student groups at Harvard put out a statement saying that this was all Israel's fault. At the University of Pennsylvania, the anti-Semitism is so bad among some of the administration that a number of people on their board of visitors and their major contributors say, we're not going near you anymore. You're no damn good. There's a New York club, sort of a nightclub, that on its website posted videos of the attackers and their sadistic doings in Israel. And remember something. I think we are getting much too permissive in this. You remember the Orlando nightclub massacre some years ago? It was a gay nightclub. Guy goes in, walks through grinning, gunning people down, asking them their religion. It turned out that that guy, when 9/11 occurred, he was in high school, and he cheered it. He cheered it, even though we'd let him in the country as a refugee. He cheered it. It was ecstatic, and he was called to the principal office. Why didn't they throw handcuffs on him and throw him out of the country? The animal stayed on and he killed 56 people. So the sad thing is this, that most of this country is strongly for Israel. We stand with Israel. However, you have some of these people who take advantage of our freedoms to act sadistically themselves, which is disgusting. Going to the lines, Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Good afternoon, Matt. Thanks for your show. What I find hard to believe, but it's believable, is the amount of power Trump still has in the Republican Party. He endorses somebody like Jim Jordan, and now he has a possibility to win the Speaker of the House. And it just amazes me that, you know, the world is watching this. And, you know, Biden says one thing and Jordan will say something else. And if you're a foreign country or anybody else, you've got to ask yourself, which way is this country going to go? Is it going to go back to Trump's, or are we going to stay in some kind of democracy? And it's quite chilling. And when you look at the GOP congressional, the GOP's congressional delegation, they back Jim Jordan. You've got to be kidding me on the, but anyway, this is my take on this whole thing, Matt, is, you don't look good on a world stage, and I don't know who, what way we're going myself. So thank you.
Yeah, that's an excellent, that's an insightful call, Paul. And here's the deal. People around the world are looking at us, and it doesn't matter that some people in this country are isolationists and think we shouldn't be on the world stage. When you're the wealthiest country in the world, which we are, the wealthiest in history, which we are, the most powerful militarily, which we are, we spend 10 times more on defense than any other country, and we spend as much on defense as all the other countries combined. Our missiles, our Navy, our aircraft carriers, I'll give you an example. We have somewhere between 10 and 12 operational aircraft carriers. I don't know if you've ever been on an aircraft carrier. I have been. I was not stationed on it. I was on it for some purpose that we were doing. And it was in the Mediterranean. We were home ported in Naples, Italy. Now, the complexity of that, it has 5,000 people on it. The commanding officer is like the mayor of a village. I mean, there are people on aircraft carriers that go AWOL, some sailors, and they can't find them because it's like a, you know, an unbelievable apartment complex. They hide here and there. It doesn't happen often, but what I'm saying is it's a very, very elaborate structure. It has to be just perfect. Then these airplanes, these jets are taking off and landing on a rocking, rolling surface in the middle of the ocean. Best pilots in the world. Best pilots in the world. They have catapults and then they have restrainers. The Russians have one aircraft carrier. It's pathetic. It's a disgusting ship. At one time, they broke down in the middle of the Mediterranean. We helped repair them. This is when we were in better times, a long time ago. The Chinese, I think, are building their second one. But I've talked to, I'm a member of the Navy League of Milwaukee, and we have speakers, and one of them was an admiral, and he came in, and I asked about it. I said, hey, Chinese are getting a second aircraft carrier. He goes, good luck. They don't know how to operate an aircraft carrier. They don't know the discipline. They don't know the precision. What happens in those countries, Russia, China, the leaders are all thieves. They steal. They're all billionaires. They steal where anything that isn't nailed down, and they steal from their own budgets, including their defense budgets. So an invoice may say that 100 tanks have been bought. Turns out only 10 tanks have been bought, and Putin or Xi will steal the others and hand it out to his running dogs. But more to the point, the supplies they put in the aircraft carrier, steel. The brother-in-law owns the steel company. He waters down the steel so he can steal money himself. The equipment shoddy. To be assigned to a Russian or Chinese submarine is almost a death sentence. When Putin first took over 20 some odd years ago, he was on vacation. Russian submarine sank. I think it was in the Baltic, with I forget how many people on board. And they had 36 hours of air. The United States and the Swedes had the salvage ships that could retrieve it. They both offered right away, we'll go right there and retrieve it. I was stationed on a salvage ship for a while. I was the ops officer of a salvage ship. We have equipment. They know what they're doing. Our guys do. The divers know what they're doing. Putin goes, no, I want Russian salvage ships to pull it up. Well, their salvage ships don't know what they're doing. He stayed on vacation. The mothers begged. They said, now they only have 24 hours of oxygen. Now they only have 18 hours of oxygen. Putin didn't cut his vacation short. He came back when they had like 10 hours of oxygen left, and the Russian salvage ships couldn't do the job, and these guys died. And they're still down there, by the way. They're still down there, by the way. In Chinese submarines, they have accidents all the time. They have fires because their discipline is no good. They don't. It's not a democracy. You know, you don't feel that anybody's going to listen to you. You can get a fair shake. The equipment you're given is defective because the strong man's brother-in-law is the guy that sold it and watered it down. So everybody in the world knows this, and they also know that as screwed up as our democracy is, it's still a democracy. Winston Churchill once said, democracy is the worst form of government, except for all the alternatives. So what's happening with Jim Jordan right now is ridiculous. It's disgusting, but it's holding. 21 Republicans said, no way, no way. And I'm thinking that'll hold up. And then I'm thinking that some moderate Republicans will get together with some moderate Democrats and they'll come up with a Republican. And I don't look, forget about Hakeem Jeffries and Pelosi being speaker or Liz Cheney. It's not going to happen. I'd love it. Any one of them. I'd love it. It's not going to happen. You pick a guy like a Tom Cole from Oklahoma, or you pick some other guy who isn't bat feathers crazy and a crook. And there aren't many like that in the Republican caucus. I know it. I know it. It's got to be some people. Somebody must have slipped through by accident who's honest and competent. I mean, there's got to be a couple. Get one of them, get them Democratic votes. Because I can't emphasize enough how important the speaker job is. Not because I give a rat's patoot about him. The speaker doesn't even vote. He doesn't vote. He's supposed to be the speaker for the whole House. You see, they have a majority leader and we have a minority leader. It's not like the Senate where the majority leader runs the thing. The speaker runs the thing. He's an umbrella. He's the whole House. He decides exclusively what they can vote on. So even if 400 people want something out of 435, if he is beholden to the crazies and the crooks and the psychopaths, or he's a psychopath or a crazy or a crook, like a gymnasium gym, Joe A.M. Jordan, he's not going to put Ukraine aid on there. He may not even put Israel aid on there. I think right now there's so much pressure he has to, but he'll put conditions and all sorts of weird stuff. Let's knock it off. Jordan will renege on the deal that McCarthy and Biden agreed to, even if 400 other Republicans want it. That's why it's essential Jordan not get it. This Patrick McHenry, I have absolutely no confidence in the guy. Let's get a moderate, quit screwing around, and let's get a speaker. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break. But she don't care.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head. The total amount ended up being somewhere just over $30,000. $30,000.
Then the IRS came to collect.
Started getting letter after letter. A lien had been filed against me. They were going to basically like hang me completely out to dry.
He had to do something.
That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
Patrick's life quickly got a lot easier.
It was very easy. Pretty much hands off, you know. They picked up the ball and ran with it.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like two or three times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. They definitely helped me. Optima Tax Relief. The best place to call. They're the best in the business.
Do what Patrick did and call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460. 800-343-6460.
Optima Tax Relief.
Testimonial from an actual client. Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Low is around 40 overnight, under partly cloudy skies, south winds around 5 miles an hour.
cloudy tomorrow. Chance for scattered rain showers. Daytime highs approaching 63. Cloudy skies tomorrow night. Chance for scattered showers. Lows level off around 47. Upper 50s Thursday and Friday with showers possible both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Hite. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
Broadcasting to Waukesha at 101.1 FM. Broadcasting to Southeast Wisconsin at 540 AM. This is The Shaw, WAUK.
It's Derek Hite. Currently, it's 55 degrees.
Keeping Southeast Wisconsin informed, engaged, and entertained. This is The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM.
All the pretty people out drinking, thinking that they got it made.
Welcome back to Matt from Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, I'll tell you what, we haven't talked about a Wisconsin issue in a long time. Why is that? Because all the actions in Washington, the speaker race and the attack by Hamas against Israel and a lot of other things. But there's some news, and it's news that really ticks me off. The Wisconsin State Senate, the Republicans, it's very gerrymandered. If there are fair maps, the Democrats, the 33 seats in the Senate, Democrats would have about 17 or 18 of them right now. Instead, we have 10. Tell you what, 21 of the Republican senators voted to reject Tony Evers, Wisconsin Election Commission pick. Joe Czarnecki from Milwaukee, friend of mine, former legislator, former clerk, for Pete's sake. There's nobody that knows more about election stuff than this guy. He's honest as the day is long, hardworking. Why they're doing it? Because by rejecting everybody that he proposes, the commission stays 3-2. By rejecting everything that he proposes, the commission stays at 3-2. And I don't know what the plan is to have an outgoing commissioner stay on under the Fred Prehn rule, but they are desperately trying to keep it 3-2 so that the three Republicans, remember, it's divided equally between the two parties, 3-3, by perpetually stabbing Evers' nominee, they keep it to 2 Democrats and 3 Republicans. The Republican Party stands for violence, chaos, and fraud to disrupt the next election. It's as simple as that. The violence was January 6th. The chaos is what's happening, death threats against poll workers and pulling this kind of stuff, and the fraud is this kind of stuff. One of the most qualified people who would ever serve on the Wisconsin Election Commission, he was an elected legislator for many terms, and he was a clerk. There's nothing you could study at a university that would teach you more about voting than what this guy knows. But they didn't stop there. They voted to fire Megan Wolf. Well, they can't fire Megan Wolf. Megan Wolf is a holdover because 4 commissioners haven't ruled on her status. The 3 Republicans did. Democrats abstained smartly. That means she holds on under the Fred Prehn rule. That's being tested by the Republicans in the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And just to make sure they win, they've been threatening Janet Protasiewicz with impeachment now for what? 2 months, ever since she was elected? She took office the first week in August. I mean, she's only been on the bench a little over 2 months. And they keep up this drumbeat. It's not off the table. Lying in the weeds like snakes, ready to pounce if she rules anything in a case they don't like. She has a lot of guts, frankly, putting up with harassment like that. But that didn't end it. Czarnecki didn't end it. Megan Wolf didn't end it. Janet Protasiewicz didn't end it. They also struck down 4 Evers picks for the Natural Resources Board. Remember Fred Prehn? Fred Prehn stayed on for 18 months, time to get as many forever chemicals into the water of Wisconsin as he could to satisfy Republican donors. And he was proven later to have had secret conversations with LeMahieu, the majority leader, and they cooked it up in the parking lot. They have held up a majority of the Natural Resources Board simply because Evers appointed them, simply to regain control or maintain control as Republicans. They also struck down a medical board chair just for the hell of it. So there is a medical board in this state. The chair didn't get approved for no reason. It was highly qualified. There's a council on domestic abuse. I mean, come on. They struck that Evers appointment down. Look, this isn't controversial stuff. We should have a council on domestic abuse. A domestic abuse should be stopped. It should be addressed. They're playing political games, just doing it to hurt the Democrats. And the thing that really blew me away, there's an agricultural board, and Evers got a call from some business and dairy interests. These are Republican interests. And they proposed somebody. He was qualified. Evers a fair guy. Evers goes, okay, I'll appoint him. They struck him down too. They struck the business slash dairy industry recommended appointment to Evers down. But that says to me, they'll strike anybody down. They'll strike anybody down. They're trying to spread chaos through our legal system in this state. As far as violence goes, you have death threats against poll workers. You have death threats against election clerks. During COVID, you even had death threats against health commissioners. What's happening is experts are sounding the alarm all over the country. This is happening. And some longtime folks who ran our elections in all 50 states are quitting, or they're not re-upping. My mom was a poll worker. She was a poll worker up in the Random Lake, Adel area. And she loved it, you know, got together with her buddies. They made a few bucks. They had lunch. They did a very honest job. People like that, if they're starting to get death threats or rough talk, they're going to go, I don't need this. And then who are you going to have to run the election? So you'll have to pay more money, get inexperienced people. And inexperience can screw things up on election day. It's the only big enterprise I know that suddenly comes together on one day. It's utterly important. It can't be screwed up. They're deliberately doing this to screw it up. They're deliberately doing this to screw it up. With the threat of violence in the background, January 6th on everybody's mind, and fraudulent laws in some places, like I've told you, Texas, where Houston, the biggest county, if the Republican Secretary of State doesn't like the result, he can order a new election. That hasn't been overturned yet. That has not been overturned yet. We come to the end of the show. Great show. Great show as always. Great callers. Matt Flynn Direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Sign off for today.
Noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values.
So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Listening to The Shaw, WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, and always streaming on the Civic